This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I'd like you to do me a favor. Can everyone just raise your hand real quick? Everybody raise your hand. How many of you have trouble confessing sin? Me too. It's tough sometimes. It's tough sometimes to confess your sin. Now, what's interesting is we know that everybody's sinned, right? But for some reason, we don't want to confess it. We don't want anyone to know that we've sinned, even though we know everyone has already sinned. Isn't that weird? The pride gets in there, maybe embarrassment, maybe we're ashamed, whatever it is. But I want to take a look at someone in Scripture. It's a story you're probably familiar with, but I don't know if we've all applied the truth to our hearts and to our lives. But it's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's about David and Bathsheba. So we're going to go over this. This message is titled, Cover or Confess. So 2 Samuel, starting at chapter 11. Some of you remember the rules, right? Remember the rules I have when we're preaching and teaching, reading the Bible. We don't read the Bible to finish. We do read the Bible to change. Let's review. Don't read it just to finish. Read it to change. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Starting at verse 1, it says, in the spring of that year, the kings were normally out at war, but David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites, and they destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday nap or rest, David got out of bed, was walking on the rooftop of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was. He was told, that's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Later, she returned home, found out she was pregnant, sent a message to David to tell him that she was pregnant. Take our time not reading the Bible to finish reading the Bible to. Come on, dude. Are you serious? I mean, it's almost baseball season. If I throw that, you should be like, I'll go yard on you, dude, if I throw that out there. You understand? No, hang in there. So here's what's happening. Why is he even home right now in the time where the kings are normally at war and he's not there? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you should not have been? I mean, most of our parents have probably told us, if you go to certain places, you might get in trouble. If you go to certain places, you might be safe. Does it make sense that you can put yourself in good places or bad places and watch what circumstance follow? Why is he here anyway? Which is just an interesting concept. And he gets up after a rest, and he starts taking a walk, and he notices a woman taking a bath. Now, right there, he should have ran away. Immediately gone to gun zone, battle zone, alarms blaring, run, right? But he doesn't. He starts to lust after her. Now, lust, this is the definition that I kind of like. Lust equals now. Okay, let's review. Lust equals now, you'll see in Scripture with sexual issues, with food and other things, but it's kind of interesting. You ever walk somewhere, maybe you're going shopping and you see a pair of shoes or something, you say, I want that now. I want that shirt now. I want those pants now. I want that watch now. I want that car now. I want that food now. I want her. I want him now. Lust equals now. I mean, it's a pretty serious concept, right? I mean, think about in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:22, which is easy to remember because 2:22, right? So 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. Strong word right there. In the Bible times, when there'd be battles with different villages and communities, oftentimes they would send messengers back to tell the wives and women, younger children that weren't involved in the battle how it was going. If it was good news, the messenger would run back and yell a phrase, euangelion nike, euangelion nike, euangelion good news, nike, like for the shoe, Nike means victory. Did you know Nike's a Bible word? And they would go out and they would yell, good news, victory, and the people would come out and clap and cheer. I remember when one of the professors here looked at me one time and said, you ever cheer for Jesus? Because this is the phrase that Paul used when he talked about the cross. You ever clapped, yelled, or cheered because of what Jesus did on the cross and the victory there? Felt like he was looking right at me. You cheer when you're down at the Gamecock football game. You ever cheered because of that? I thought, that's interesting. The opposite piece, though, was the word for flee when he would come back and yell, we're losing the battle, we could die. They might come back and they take us over. They will kill you. You actually might not make it. flee, run for your lives. That's a pretty strong word. If there's lust, run for your life. Run away. I try to teach guys, whether they're businessmen or pastors or youth pastors, wherever they are, when we go through accountability pieces and personal holiness issues, what it means to go to gun zone. When I had guys here, when I went to school here, we had signals, right? We had signals if we knew that there were struggles. So we'd be walking down in the sidewalk. I'd be going back to West. Maybe, you know, guys and girls, sometimes you wear things that are inappropriate and you need to stop. Okay, sometimes you're not wearing something inappropriate. Guys, we just lust. Hey, there's a building. I'm lusting. I'm not sure. Guys, sometimes that's what happens. So you have to understand, guys have issues. But I remember, guys, with some of my friends, we had a little signal that was this. Keep your eyes up. I remember my friend James would be walking down. Kings, watch your eyes. Better keep them up or keep them straight down. And it's kind of interesting. I, you know, you can look at the sky. Wow, it's nice today. Wow. Very blue. Very blue. Sometimes you can look down. This is a really nice sidewalk. The masonry here is unbelievable. Half inch gap between each section. Done a really good job here. You have to be ready. You think that sometimes those little things don't really matter, but they do. And I'll tell you another thing, ladies, if you're thinking about dating someone and you know someone has a lust problem or they have an issue with self-control now with you, that could be something that's planned that could hurt you later on. So if the guy's not showing consistent discipline and self-control, you might want to think about that. He doesn't do this because, guys, we struggle with self-control. Why do we do it? Girls, sometimes you do too. There's an issue of self-control. I love going over the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22. And I always tell the guys, name three that you struggle with. Well, actually, name two, because one of them is self-control. Right? I mean, think about it. When I first got married, I got to go to the grocery store by myself, which I thought was pretty cool to get to go by yourself. When you have a ring, you can go a lot of places by yourself. So I go to the grocery store. My wife had given me a list of four things. It said milk, bread, and two other things. And she said, now, you know, we don't make a lot of money. And, you know, she pretty much was paying the bills. And I was still going to seminary here. And it's kind of interesting. So I went to the store. And I didn't know there was, like, demons at the grocery store. I didn't even know that. No one told me. So I'm going down the cookie aisle. And it's a struggle. It's spiritual warfare, right? So I'm thinking about this. And so I love cookies. My mom's a good cook. When she makes homemade cookies, I'm all over it, man. I'm talking about chocolate chip. I'm talking about like double fudge, peanut butter, oatmeal raisin. Those are good. But I also like the store-bought, chemically induced, possibly illegal drugs involved cookies, like double stuffed Oreos, my favorite one of all time, Nutter Butters. So I'm putting stuff in the cart that's not on the list. I go down the chips and it says buy one, get one free. Might be a sin if I don't do that. That's good stewardship. So I put two chips in there. I get to the checkout line. There should only be four beeps, according to the list. It should go beep, 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 and we should be done. There was like 50 beeps. There were so many beeps, and it was way over $50. So I'm going home, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get in trouble. Dawn's going to be really upset. Let me think through this now. If she asks this question number one, I'm okay. If she asks this question number two, I'm okay. But if she asks question number three, I'm in trouble. I put everything away. She comes home. She asks question number one, which is what I thought she would do. She said, did you go to the store today? I said, yes, I did. That's not a lie. Yes, I did. She said, did you get the four things on the list? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But then she asked the third question, which I didn't want her to ask. She said, where's the receipt? Now, I've learned from CIU, I learned also from what we call secret guy school, that when these situations come up, you need to be honest, right? Integrity, honesty. So I looked her right back in the eye and I said, you're pretty. Just want to be honest with you right now. Very attractive. And I haven't been to the grocery store ever since. But you need to understand that self-control is a big, big issue. He doesn't show it right here. He sends for her. Now, could she have said no? Yes. She's married. He's married. He already had some women problem before this anyway. But there's an issue here of adultery, right? It's sexual sin. Of course, she could have been put in prison, maybe put to death for refusing the king. But now she's pregnant, sends a message back to David. What should he do? Should he cover it up or confess it? He should confess, but he decides not to. Decides to cover up, which is interesting. This is one of our heroes. He's already written some of the Bible. Look at verse 6. Then David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. That's the husband. So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along, how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, go home and relax a while. David even sent a gift with him after he left the palace, but Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guards. You see what's going on here? He's going to try to cover it up with a little trick. I'll bring the husband home from fighting. He'll go home and sleep with his wife. About 8 months or so from now, when that baby comes, they'll think that it's his baby. Isn't this great? Oh, God blessed him when he came home from the battle and they were able to have a special child now on that break from the war. Isn't it neat how God provides in the family? And no one will ever know about his sin. But that's not what happened. It says he sent a gift to him. He's going all out here. Watch what happens in verse 10. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and said, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away for so long? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men are camping in the open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear I'll never do such a thing. Well, we'll stay here today. Stay here today, David said then. Tomorrow you can return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next, but David, when he invited him to dinner, got him drunk. But even then, he could not get Uriah to go home to be with his wife. You know, sometimes when you cover up sin, you'll do another sin to cover up that sin, to cover up the first sin. It's something sometimes it can build, compound. It's like a volcano that's going to explode. Well, my first little trick didn't work to cover up my sin. Let me try something else. How about I'll get him drunk? And you know and I know that within alcohol, there's all kinds of things that can happen, but there's a lot of statistics about sexual sin, right? Sometimes it happens within premarital things with teenagers. Sometimes it happens collegiate things. Sometimes it's rape. Sometimes it involves abuse, all kinds of things. David doesn't care. I don't care what he does, as long as he goes home and sleeps with his wife. I don't care if he hits her. I don't care if he forces himself on her. I don't care how it goes down. I just need this guy to sleep with his wife so they'll never know that it's my kid. Wow. Wow. He's already written some of the Bible. When I was going through some of the historical pieces, I was trying to do some timelines, and one of the historians said that he probably had written some of the pieces like, who am I that you would think of me? That was interesting. Some other pieces in Scripture. He's going to cover up this sin. Why do we do that? We already know that we sin. We might not know the details, but we know. And there's this pride thing. There's this shame thing. There's this embarrassment piece that we don't want anyone to know. And we carry around this burden of unconfessed sin. I know that you have a forgiveness positionally when you start a relationship with Jesus, and your positional righteousness is amazing. But what about something called practical righteousness? When Jesus says, right, you should confess your sins to God and to one another after you are a Christian. There's some kind of practical peace there, practical forgiveness. You understand that it helps your intimacy with Him? That if you're too proud to confess your sin, too arrogant, when the pride seeps in, remember what he said in 1 Peter 5:5? He says, I give grace to the humble, but I oppose the proud. That word oppose means to build a wall. Right? In Bible times, they build walls around cities or sometimes walls of soldiers to protect captains for separation. He says, we can't be close when you're being prideful. Doesn't mean we don't have a relationship, but there's going to be something wrong in our intimacy. But I give grace to the humble. I remember when I tried to cover up something when I was little, and I've tried to cover up so many things. I covered up all kinds of stuff here. Some of it comes out in one of these books, but you know, don't tell the professors about it unless you've already read it. I'm not sure. But there's a few things. I tried to cover stuff with my parents when I was real little. You know, before I came here, I lived in Washington, D.C. in high school. But before that, I lived in Wisconsin, and we had this huge, you know, farmland and big, huge gardens and all these things. And as I was getting around fifth or sixth grade, my mom said, now this year, it's your job to plant all the corn. Now, we've already got all the rows hoed out for you. You're going to put seeds down, pat it down, and go through all these different rows. You're not playing any sports. You're not doing anything with your friends. You're not doing anything till that gets done. So I got this big old thing, corn seed. I'm putting them down, patting them, trying to do it just right. Finally, I said, forget this. This is taking way too long, which in sixth grade means about 7 minutes. So I pour all this corn seed and I spread it all around. I'm pushing dirt everywhere, stamping on it. Then I go back down through all the rows, patting it down through every row, which is interesting because by the time I did all that, I could have planted it the right way. Not the brightest candle, but hang in there. So I go back to my mom and I said, I planted all the corn. She's like, you planted all the corn? Yep. Okay. Months down the road, my dad and my mom say, Jamie, let's go for a walk down by the field, way down there on the other side of the property. Oh, yeah, sounds good. Because I like to go down there. We'd grab some strawberries and raspberries and look at the carrots and the watermelon, all those different things. And where there should be a big field of corn was no corn. But over in this corner section was the largest, most gigantic corn tree you've ever seen in your life. I mean, this big, huge corn tree. And my dad goes, what is that? What in the world is that? I said, that's a corn tree. You heard of Jack and the Beanstalk? This is like Jeremy and the cornstalk. And my dad and mom taught me a few lessons about what integrity is. A few different ways they taught me that. Didn't play sports until about 2 weeks after that. You understand what I'm saying? Why do we always do that? I mean, that little phrase, your sin will find you out. I mean, we think we can trick people. You know what I'm saying? I can trick my parents, or you can trick me, or you can trick a professor, or you can trick a friend, trick your boyfriend, trick your girlfriend, you can trick whoever it is, your employer. God sees everything, both good and evil, the Bible says. You can't trick him. You can't sit there and cheat and go, I don't think he'll see this. Am I covering it up good enough? What? Do you really think he doesn't see? It doesn't make any sense. But we still try to cover up. And then we try to cover up and cover up again. That's when we get to this part, chapter 11, verse 14. It says that the next morning David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver, the husband. The letter instructed Joab, station Uriah on the front lines where the battle is the most fierce, then pull back so he will be killed. So Joab assigned Uriah to that spot close to the city wall where he knew the enemy's strongest men were fighting, and where the enemy soldiers came out to the city to fight. Uriah the Hittite was killed along with several other Israelite soldiers. Wow. Not only did he just murder the husband, because of this crazy military tactic that he shouldn't even be doing to cover up his sin, some other wives lost their husbands. Some other children lost their dad. Why? Because I can't let anyone know I made a mistake. It doesn't matter who I hurt. I can't let anyone know that I made a mistake. I mean, how do you do that? How do you take some parchment and your writing instrument and write part of the Psalms and grab another piece and write a note to murder someone? And then have the audacity to even give it to him. The guy he's going to murder gives it to him. He knows he's not going to break the seal, right? He could get killed and sentenced for that. The audacity, what is he doing? This arrogance and shame and all the pieces that are coming into play here that Satan likes to feed us and feed us and feed us, which takes all of our vision, all of our thoughts, right, off of who we should be thinking about, God. Who says, I have mercy for you, I have grace for you, my loving kindness never ends. Mercies are new every morning. I already know what you did. Why won't you just be humble and confess it to me? So God says, okay, now I'm going to have to do something a little different. He does have grace and mercy, no doubt about it. Loving kindness never ends. But he also says, I discipline those that I love. He calls this guy Nathan. Some of you need to be a Nathan, and some of you need Nathans to come talk to you. Nathan, I need you to go hold this guy accountable. Nathan goes to David, God gave him a story. Nathan says, hey, David, I got to tell you something. There was this rich guy who had all kinds of animals. And man, it was amazing. You should have seen all the animals he had. But toward the edge of that guy's property, there was a poor man who had one baby lamb. Just one little tiny animal, little lamb. It was like one of the family members. They fed it from the plate and let it drink out of their cup. It was like their own little child, man. It was awesome. Well, the rich guy had a guy come to his house. They were going to make a meal. Well, they went over, swiped the baby lamb from the poor guy and used it for the meal when that guest came. Says David was furious. What? Who would do something? Why, if he has all these animals, he'd go and swipe the one baby little animal from the poor guy? That doesn't make any sense. Who would do something like that? Nathan said, you would. What are you talking about? I mean, who's the man who really did what? You're that man. You did it when you took that guy's wife. Now, what's he going to do? Got two options. Cover up or confess. I mean, if he kills God's man, right, he's already murdered other people. How about we kill God's prophet? We'll kill Nathan. And then it's really going to be put to rest because now I won't have to deal with God anymore either. I'll just kill Nathan. Cover it up. Or confess. He already knows. It's killing him. It hurts God's heart. Remember what it said? God was very displeased. I know you don't like to hear that because you're a younger generation. You can't ever hear that someone's disappointed. But do you understand that sin hurts people? It hurts God because he has a heart. And finally, he raises his hand. You know what? I did it. I can't do this anymore. Who did it? It was me. I confess. Finally, he comes clean. Chapter 12, verse 13. Easy to remember because 12, 13. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Finally. Thank goodness he finally confesses. And you know what's amazing to me is the next verse. After all this stuff, the next sentence is not even like three sentences away. It's not the next chapter. It's not the next book in the Bible. The next phrase after that, when he finally confesses that I've sinned against God, he tells Nathan, here's what you're going to say right when he confesses. Is he going to say the baby's going to die? Not yet. Is he going to say you've caused the other nations to have a chance to mock God? Not yet. What's the first thing I'm supposed to say when he confesses? Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord forgives you. Do you get that? Do you see God's heart? Nathan, the second he confesses, we'll get to the discipline later, but the first thing you tell him, I forgive him. Forgiveness before consequences. I want our relationship and our intimacy to be okay. It will help us work through those consequences. But he needs to know we're okay. I forgive him. That's how he feels. Do you have some unconfessed sin? When I was here and still now, I have sin, I need to confess. He wants to forgive. Why don't you bow your heads for a second? Close your eyes. Just to pray. Lord, your scripture is amazing because it reveals who you are, your character, the love you have for us, that you love to forgive. And if there's anyone in here right now, students, faculty, staff, whoever has unconfessed sin right now, just taking a minute or two to get before Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you already know. I don't know why I try to cover it up. Would you please forgive me for this? Forgive me for this. You start naming it, confess, to call it the same. Call it what it is. Maybe you need to go to a brother or sister or a professor and say to them, I've sinned and I need to ask you to forgive me. I confess it to you. No more covering it up. If I've lied, cheated, stole, cursed, broke standards, whatever it is, I want to confess it. And my heart would be clean in my relationship with you and with Jesus. Would you please forgive me? Lord, we are thankful that we can be trained for ministry here. We're very thankful that we can come here so our hearts can be changed, our lives can be changed to love you and to become more like you. Thank you for your forgiveness, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.